Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
My message title is Preparation. And it's preparation for every stage, for every situation, for every circumstance of life. To be prepared, how to be prepared in a healthy way. I think you can go one way and be prepared in the sense of that you're an overanalyzer like myself. I will think of the 99 ways that it could turn out, and most likely the one that does is the one I didn't think about. But I process through things and I overthink things, and so much thought goes into so it doesn't matter. And that's where what I want to talk tonight about is preparation and how to prepare to either step into your dream or step into your call or move on to the next stage of life and how to go from there. So turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. It's page 394, just so you guys know. Just turn there, you're good. Old church jokes. While you guys are turning, while you guys are turning to the first page to look at the table of contents and then go into the book, I'd like to honor my parents. My parents are here, Pastors Bill and Sandy Shear. They have, I'll add a little bit to the last year. So anybody in here have parents? That would be everybody, just so you guys know. You should raise your hands. The answer is yes. They say things when you're growing up, and you think, that was for your time. Oh, that's just how old people think. That's something an old man would say. And then you start to realize, maybe they knew what they were talking about. Anybody else with me? Very humbling as a kid, just so you guys know. Very humbling, but it's been so interesting just the process over the last year. And Dad and Mom both have been so helpful through it, but yet letting us try things and letting us make mistakes and do things differently. And it's been a complete honor and privilege to serve under them. So I just want to give them the honor and the respect that is due just for creating the not only the place but the foundation for people to launch into their call and into their dreams. So I'm just very, very thankful. Thank you very much. Nehemiah 2, we're going to read 1 through 9. I did originally say 10, so 10 might be on the screen, but it's the Old Testament, and there's some names in there that I just would prefer not to. I'll summarize 10. Early in the spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King I went through this too. Man, I practiced this before. Artaxerxes' reign. I have an app that literally the book is called That's Easy for You to Say. And they take hard words in the Bible, you click it and it reads it to you. It's phenomenal. So that is right. I was waiting for that. I don't know if you guys knew that. I was waiting for that to get teed up for me to, okay. I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? Why do you look sick, or why don't you look sick to me? You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to God of heaven, I replied, "If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with his queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" And after I told him how long I'd be gone, the king agreed to my request. Verse 7, "I also said to the king, if it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. Verse 9, when I came to the governor's province, west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. And then there were people that were angry. So you guys see what I'm saying as you read on? Sanballat? Yeah. So they were mad and very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this house. Lord, I thank you for just this amazing country and the freedoms that we have in this country. The freedom that we are able to meet as a group under a roof, under one roof, all under the name of Jesus, all under the banner of Jesus. Lord, we do not take that lightly. And Lord, I thank you that tonight that you prepared our hearts to receive your word. Lord, I thank you that you speak to every person individually, how they need to hear it, in the form that they need to hear it. And Lord, that is something that is relevant to their life. Lord, I thank you that this is just not another Wednesday night. This is not another service. But Lord, I thank you for insight, for change to be broken, for mindsets to be changed. Lord, that we would trade 1,000 days anywhere else for one day with you, for one touch from you, for just one piece of just insight from you. Lord, we love you, we worship you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. So we're talking about preparation, and here's Nehemiah. So I want to throw something out to you. On your mark, get set, go. We've heard that before. Maybe it was you as a participant in a race. Obviously, that was not me. I was the one cheering on my friends who would be racing. I've never been the fast guy. I'm great with it. I'm good with it. And so you hear, on your mark, get set, go. And that's, your mind immediately goes to the race. Well, I want to break this down and how this is applicable to life itself. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark means that you should be aware of your goals, that you have your mark. You know where you are headed. You know the direction that you're headed. That it's not, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see where we go from here. Or, oh, I'll take it as it comes. No, that you know the direction that you are headed. Get set means that you're prepared. You should be prepared. Be prepared. Not overly prepared, but then to not be prepared at all is just ignorance. But be prepared. And then we should go on to succeed or to accomplish whatever we're headed towards. So I'm going to give you, I got 5 points tonight. Number one is you are prepared by thinking ahead. You are prepared by thinking ahead. Nehemiah, we realize that he has done his homework in this situation. Not only has he been praying about this for 4 months, but he's been planning and preparing for a meeting with the king. He was planning and praying for 4 months just for this one conversation where the king is going to ask him something. And he didn't know how it was going to come about. He didn't know what the lead-in was going to be. He didn't know anything like that. But what he did know is that God would provide, and he was going to provide an opportunity to have a conversation, a face-to-face with the king. I know a lot of people might be thinking, so is it really important for me to be prepared? I like to take things as they go. I'm more of a spontaneous person. I have some answers for that. Proverbs 19:21, and these are going to be out of the New Living Translation. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Proverbs 16:9, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. 1 Corinthians 14:33 and verse 40, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the meetings of God's holy people. Verse 40 says, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Being prepared means that there's not chaos, that there's not... How many people have kids? Raise your hand if you have kids. You get what I'm talking about with chaos. You know what I mean? Mine are 3 and 2. I'll just throw that out there. So you understand what the chaos feels like. Like, it's just frantic. Everything's going on. Everything's just this. Anybody with me? Just... You're like, we're there. But being prepared helps give time. Because here's the thing. I realized that when we had Charleston, everything in my life changed. Everything. I no longer was living for myself. I was no longer trying to advance in life for myself or to gain things or to do things for myself. No, I was doing it for a legacy. I was no longer serving the house for me, or we weren't tithing for us. We were tithing for our legacy. So I realized that. So I want to spend as much time with the kids as I can, launching a church that's different. But I realized that the intentionality matters. Being intentional matters. But how in the world could I be intentional if everything is in chaos because I have nothing planned out or I'm not prepared in any way, shape, or form? How could I expect things to be peaceful to where my kids and I actually enjoy being around each other, my wife and I enjoy being around each other, if there's chaos? There's no way that there's any sustainability to that. But to be prepared for the things to come. I understand things are going to happen that are outside that you're not expecting. That is going to happen, but take care of what you can take care of. The Bible also says that wise people plan ahead. Proverbs 14:8 says, the prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. We've all heard the adage, failing to plan is planning to fail. We've all heard it, and it's so true. You have to think things through. You can't just make a rash decision. You have to think things through. Leaders make time for think time. Howard Hendricks said, nothing is more profitable than serious thinking, and nothing is more demanding. Serious thinking and preparing. I mean, I can imagine what Nehemiah was feeling in this instance, because the Lord placed this on his heart to go in and rebuild the city. And he knew it was going to happen, but yet he's a servant to a king. And so he just starts praying over it and then praying for an opportunity to arise and that he is prepared, that he knows where he is going, that in the conversation he knows how to direct things. He's prepared. He's not just saying, well, whatever happens, happens. That's not what he is saying at all. Number two is be prepared to take advantage of opportunities. You have to be prepared to take advantage of opportunities. In verses 1 and 2, it writes out that he was there serving the king his wine and never before appeared sad in his presence. I wonder, hold on, I'll get to that. Okay, so the king asked them then, why do you look sad? You don't look sick. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified. Here's an opportune time that God had that he opened up a door or an avenue for Nehemiah to have a conversation with the king. He knew this time was coming. The time presented itself. He may never get a chance like this again. What if he stumbled over his words? What if he wasn't sure what he was asking? What if he was not prepared? He may never see this opportunity again. Thomas Edison said, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Ruh-roh. Here's the thing. We pray, and it's prayed a lot in here, but it's, Lord, that you open doors and no man can close. But guess what? The B part of that is you actually have to walk through the door jam. You have to take a step into it. So when opportunity presents itself, we're praying for opportunity. Lord, open doors. Lord, I thank you that I have favor, open doors that no man can close. But then we just stand at the door that's open and we're like, come on, God, what now? No, it's be prepared to take advantage of the opportunities. Be ready to take advantage of the opportunities that God brings you. 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. If that's it alone, the opportunities is just to tell people about Jesus, wherever you're at. To tell people about Jesus, you have to be prepared. Those opportunities will arise. Not letting them slip. Not letting opportunities that the Lord brings you pass you by. So here Nehemiah was on his mark. In chapter 1, it tells us about how God promises to bring his people back to Israel and to restore their lives, and he placed that on Nehemiah's heart. So he was ready. He knew what his call was. He knew what his dream was, and that was his focus. He made a request that was in line with the will of God. That's one thing about Nehemiah, is he made the request that was in line with the will of God. So many times we ask God or we pray for things with the wrong motives. We pray for things that we're hoping, oh, maybe this kind of fits in. How many justifiers do I have in the room? Do I have any justifiers? I can justify just about anything, so I relate with you. But we're trying to make things work, and we're asking with the wrong motives. James 4:3 says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Too often our prayers are short-term attempts to receive something for our own benefit. I didn't hear very many amens there. I get that. So I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Too often our prayers are short-term fixes or attempts to receive something for our own benefit. We're praying to God and then we're like, well, there's unanswered prayers. Everybody singing that Garth Brooks song in their head. I get it. I started to, but then I thought, nah, it's not me. But no, it's we want to say, that it's, oh, we got the unanswered prayers. He's looking at, no, check your motives. Why were you praying what you were praying? Is it because it fits in the will of God and the plan for your life? Or is it because it makes things easier for you? Because it'd be really great because you need a little bit more. You need to buy more things. You need that new greatest thing that comes out. What are your motives? With this, there's so many unknowns that Nehemiah has. There's so many unknowns. I mean, I look at it, and he's hoping that he gets an opportunity to speak to the king. He's hoping that that conversation goes right. He's hoping that the king responds favorably with his requests. But he was prepared. 4 months. He prayed, he planned, he thought. The last thing you were believing for, how long did you pray for it? When I read that, that was a gut check for me. 4 months. The only reason I can say that, yes, I've prayed for something for 4 months is because I have an amazing wife who reminds me of things I need to pray for. But there's things that it's like, yeah, okay, this is going to directly impact our family right now. Like, we pray every night about this adoption process, that it's in God's hands, the right timing, the right baby, the right situation. But yeah, that affects our immediate family. It's an impact, but what about the call that God's placed on your life? How long have you prayed for that next opportunity? How long have you thought about it? Maybe a day? Maybe you're super spiritual and you've prayed and thought about it a week. No, 4 months. But what's hard is we're on to the next thing, or we think that we missed it because it's taking a little bit of time. I just talked about Joseph a few weeks back, and he had this dream, and I don't know why. You'd heard it since kids' church, and he got this really sweet jacket, and no one else got it, and he's looking great. And then his brothers sell him, and then he goes to Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife is a lunatic, and she tries to get him to come to bed with her, and he won't. So then she steals his robe and says, look at what happened. So then he goes to prison, but then he goes to the palace, and then his brothers come. And then everything's great. The dream's fulfilled. It's like 8 chapters. So I'm like, oh, bam, bam. I get it. That's awesome. It was over 20 years that Joseph had that dream when he was 17 years old to when that dream was realized, to when that dream played out. Too many of us give up on our dreams and give up on our call just because it didn't happen according to our timeline. Just because it didn't happen. Oh, by this time I'll be, you hear it all the time. By 25 I'll be married. By 30 I'll be making however much money. I'll have this many kids by this time. Either God's in control or he's not. And his timing is perfect last time I checked. If you give me the opportunity, if you give me any say, I'm going to screw it up. For real, like you're going to mess it up. So we rely solely on God. And the hard part is we say it with our mouth, but do we really mean it? 4 months he prayed about this. 4 months. That's all he was going through his mind. For this one opportunity. There were so many unknowns, but the unknown forces you to walk by faith. Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen next. That is awesome. Because now you walk by faith. Well, I can't see where I'm headed. Just based off the definition of faith, that's actually a really good thing. That you're walking by faith. It pushes you and forces you into a place of faith. Number 3, be prepared in spite of your fears. So the king asked him why he looked sad. He didn't look sick. You must be deeply troubled. And then I was terrified. Nehemiah here was at risk of losing his life. Because in those days, they weren't allowed to look or show sadness. And here's why. Because it was a direct reflection on the king and how he treated who he oversaw. It makes sense. Like, I get it. Like, I read that and I'm like, yeah, totally understand. But who is your king? Who is your king? Do you show sadness? Let me flip that. Do you ever show happiness? What kind of reflection does that show on the God that we serve? The fact that people can't be happy. Because anything, everything in the world, it's not going to bring them true happiness. The happiest place on earth. My dad pointed this out when I was a teenager, and I've not been able to kick it. We just went to Disney World a year ago, and I brought it up. No one's smiling. The happiest place on earth, and no one's smiling. But yet we serve a God who knows the number of hairs on your head, and you can't smile? You serve a God whose plans are greater than yours, but you can't smile? What are you sad about? Everything we touch works. I mean, that's amazing. You have the secret sauce. His name is Jesus. People have to deal with real things. People have to deal with sickness, with diagnosis. They have to deal with issues. We have Jesus. We win. Why are you sad? Why aren't you smiling? I mean, it truly is amazing. I think about it, and just recently, Charleston had a lymph node that started swelling up. And I don't, like, we didn't, I mean, no, we prayed over it, didn't even give it a thought. There's been multiple things, just even throughout our marriage, that things have come up, and I mutter these words every time. Man, what do people do without Jesus?
Yeah.
Talk about hope. Like, how do you have hope? What do we do without Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals? Well, we're just trying to make ends meet. Yeah, Jehovah Jireh, you should bring him into the equation. Because all your needs are met according to his riches and glory. Smile. You're a Christian. Maybe more people would be apt to hear out the Christians, and maybe it'd be a little bit more appealing if people smiled. What if? Just think about all the stuff God's done for you. I mean, truly look back and see how God has blessed your life. Why are you not smiling all the time? Number five is be prepared. Did I skip one? Yep. Number four, be prepared to communicate details. Nehemiah had prayed and thought it out, and he was prepared to communicate the details. The king asked him three questions, and he had an answer for every one of them. What was the goal? How long would it take? And what do you need to do the job? He had an answer for every single one of them. And then number five is, be prepared for the inevitable problems. In verses 7 through 10, he talks about needing letters for safe passage, needing letters for timber to be able to build the gate and to build his house and to build the city back. He knew what was coming up. He knew the issues that he was going to see because he had planned about it. And what I love about this story is he specifically asked for things. He doesn't just say safe passage. No, I would like a letter from you stamped that I can pass. Stamped that I can have wood when I need it. Because he's thinking it's a long time to get approval or to show proof of approval back to the kingdom. He plans ahead. He's prepared for it. So the king grants him all the requests and then issues a decree. And here's what's awesome. There's a Bible scholars that would say that this was the start of a prophecy called the 77s, which talked about Jesus' coming and then the second coming of Jesus. I mean, it's amazing how the Bible is, how it all connects. But the prophecy about Jesus coming back started with this decree. What if Nehemiah wasn't prepared? What if he got up, was standing there, looked sad, the king asked, why are you sad? You don't look sick. What if he would have been terrified that he wouldn't have been able to speak? So afraid he wouldn't have been able to speak. What if he didn't know exactly what to ask? That is why you need to be prepared for whatever is going to come. Especially the men. Because you are the leaders of the house. When we started having kids, it was, oh man, I gotta make sure that every door is shut, that nothing's in here. Making sure that I'm not allowing anything because I'm the gatekeeper to my home. But I'm prepared for that. Now, was I prepared when Charleston was born? No, I wasn't. Be honest. Like Tay, I was prepared before I read the story. But no, it's amazing how God works because he's always with us. That no matter what, I know that that's what I'm relying on. That I'm relying on him, that it's his strengths and not mine. That when you walk with Jesus, he's not going to leave you broken. when you go through a testing season and you're walking with Jesus, he's not going to leave you broken at the end of it. That he's not just taking you through things to punish you. No, what he's doing is preparing you to step in to the next season of your life. He's hardening you and he's preparing you to carry the weight that you're going to have to carry in that next season of life. If I could say, like, the last 18 months, I don't know if I can say the actual day, but when me and Cass prayed and we decided that we wanted to do the local church, one of the hardest texts I sent was to my dad. I was like, hey, I need to talk. I'm not sure about what. We'll see how you are that day. But no, we're there. Like, we're in it. We had decided, okay, here's what we're doing. We talk with them, we meet with him and mom. They say yes. Yes, let's do it. I'm going to go ahead and just venture out and say that day the test started. I mean, it felt like we were attacked from every side. Stuff you wouldn't even think. It was like, what is going on? Did I miss it? Maybe I heard God. Why is this happening? Why am I dealing with these things I shouldn't be dealing with? Like, what is going on? But what it was preparing me for me to step into what God has called me to do. It's preparing me to dive deeper into his word, to have a closer relationship with him. Dad used to say, heavy is the head that wears the crown. That was one of those, so old. It was and Bob's your uncle. He also says that. If anybody afterwards can tell me what Bob's your uncle means, me and Pastor Chana would love to know. It's said often, no one knows what it means. But no, he'd say, hey, he's the head that wears the crown. I'd be like, oh, okay. And then we say we're going to launch. And before we launch, we decide we're going to do it. Before we launch, I mean, just dealing with things, it's like, what am I carrying this weight for, this pressure? I can now tell you 12 and a half, 13 months into local church, I understand heavy is the head that wears the crown. I get it. But me going through that testing season prepared me to step into what God's called me to do. It prepared me to carry the weight that I have to carry. It prepared me to protect myself from angles I didn't think I needed to protect myself from. It stretched me. And yes, there were nicks, there were bruises. But standing right next to Jesus, he's not going to leave you broken. You're going to come out better than you could have ever imagined. That is the God that we serve. So please, please, whatever God has placed into your heart, whatever dream that God has placed into your heart, it's not dead. It might be like Lazarus. You might think it's dead, but it's not dead. It's just asleep. Wake it up. Like Ezekiel, when the Lord takes him into the valley and there are bones and bones and bones. I spoke about this last night, and those bones are problems. When Ezekiel first went into the valley, all he saw was problems, issues. But then later on, the Lord tells him to prophesy to those bones. And they started forming. Then they were just lifeless bodies. He said, prophesy to the wind. Say, all four winds, enter these bodies and make these bodies living again. Prophesy to your dream. Prophecy 101 is you get a word from God and you speak it. Prophesy to your dream. Ezekiel also didn't just talk about the bones, he talked to the bones. Somebody in here tonight has a dream that you might think is dead, but there are so many problems that you don't see how it's going to work out, and all you do is talk about the problems. Maybe you need to change your words up a little bit and start speaking to those problems. Maybe you need to start speaking into the situation that you have. I say it every day. I don't even know if my wife knows this, but every time I come home, I say, Lord, I thank you that this house is a house of peace. Lord, I thank you that my kids do not control the atmosphere in my home. My kids don't control them. No. I'm the boss, not them. They know it. Lord, please make sure that they know it. But no, it's you speak to it. Speak life over the situation. I pray every night over our kids. Lord, I thank you they are the head and not the tail. Lord, I thank you that they are leaders and not followers. Lord, that they are influencers, not influenced. That they never know a day where they don't know you. That they hear your voice and another voice they won't follow. Start speaking to that, because what I don't want to do is in 15 years, us be sitting here just trying to figure out how to get to our kids. Maybe you are at that place. Maybe you're at that place where you don't know how to reach your kids anymore. Start speaking to the issues. Start speaking about your kids to the kids. Lord, I thank you that they have the right friends. Lord, I thank you that they make the right decisions. Start speaking to them. Nehemiah didn't come unprepared. He was ready because he knew he may only get one shot. I also want to encourage you that when you come to church here, come with a purpose. Don't come just to check it off the list. Don't come just because you're supposed to. Come with a purpose. There was an Instagram post about 3 weeks ago from Guts Church with me. I don't know if anybody saw it. I was singing. I felt violated, first off. It was a place of, if anybody didn't see it, don't. But it was a place, and I what's funny is I saw it, and I thought, oh, man, because Cass showed me. She's like, okay, high note. I was like, awesome. I'm glad that one's up there. But here's what I saw in it. I saw a moment that I was battling, no matter what it was. I don't remember what it was. God's already taken care of it, so I don't remember it. But I'll tell you what, I came with a purpose. I came for a reason. Please don't think that's selfish. Come to be energized. Come to be rejuvenated. Come to be built up. But come with a purpose and be prepared, because you might get one opportunity and there's only one of you. Last time I checked, there's only one Taylor. And everybody in here said, thank God. No, but there's only one of you. So if you don't do it, literally you don't get to say somebody else will. If you don't do it, literally nobody else will do it. So be prepared. Don't let something catch you off guard. Don't let an opportunity that God puts in front of you catch you off guard. And be prepared.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.